All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we here are trying to unravel, if you will, some of the anomalies seen in the numbering in regards to the roster at hand, genealogy in Genesis 46. It only gets better. We've seen the doctrine of names as being instrumental in regards to the situation as the register is generated by both name and then by persons and live bodies. And in that regards, in reconciling the number 70 verses 66, we are to take and apply the Levirate principle, whereas the two sons of Perez carry on the names of their namesakes or their uncles, Er and Onan, sequentially in regards to the roster to given to us. And that name, under the Levirate principle, the four names are fused together as two names. And when you look at the number 70 at the end of the tally here in regards to this, verses 66, whereas the two grandsons, great grandsons of Jacob, are not yet born. In persons, they obviously are not part of the entourage in Egypt when Jacob arrives there, and hence we can make our first adjustment from 70 to 68 in that regards. The other two, as I've already brought out, involves two more great-grandsons that will be born after the fact, and they're in... their relationship is an association actually with Sarah, who we've got to figure that out in that regards. And the doctrine of names is seen, as we saw and finished up last class, as the line of Christ is seen and fulfilled through this Levirate principle through Judah, the Judah-Tamar affair, as Jesus Christ is the only name given under heaven and earth by which men can be saved. So, point 47, picking up where we left off here in regards to our notes, recognizing that the overall roster lists two sets of names that were not historically present in person for the trip. He just falls apart the 66 and 70 numbers recorded in verses 26 and 27. Now, in that vein, what is he referring to in regards to the final two tallies of numbers? That's point 48. I've already addressed it essentially. Verse 26, report living persons present on the trip. That's 66. While verse 27, when we get to it, again, it's reference to the roster in name. So 49, the accumulated numbers. Verses 15, 18, 22, and 25, which is numbers 33, 16, 14, plus 7, equals the 70 names that carry on the seed of Jacob to Egypt, explaining verse 27. That's the key to that. Interpreters, as I said, are all over the place in regards to this roster. They take the number 66, where in its simple form, the simplicity of it, obviously in context, the 66 is reference to the number 70 just minus 4. But they want to conjure up all different kinds of other names that not listed in regards to the number 70 to explain away or the number 66. You don't have to do that. That's one reason why I feel comfortable in regards to look out for the word feel, but anyway, I remain comfortable in regards to how we're going with this, because it takes something that is otherwise seems to be complex on the surface and simplifies it. And that's what doctrine does when you start understanding it in its completeness, in its fullness. So these names, so 70 emphasize the names that are carried in the archives, the historical Israel that will be carried into Egypt at this point in time and ultimately be part and party to the conquest. So 50, their names all remain in the house of Jacob for perpetuity, forever. So 51, again, verse 26 is a count of actual persons, live bodies. Then that then accompanied Jacob on the trip, that is 66. And when I say accompany, you've got to understand that the language is in general here. They are present with Jacob as he arrives in Egypt. Because out of that number 66, it's obvious that Joseph and his two sons are part of that number. They also went to Egypt, even though their travel arrangements were preliminary, made for them some 22 years prior. But anyway. So 52, we have already accounted in part for the variance by subtracting two names represented via the deaths of Aaron and Onan, and the omission of the grandsons in regards to actual persons not yet born. 53, at this point, as I was doing the notes, the question remains, who are the other two names not present for the trip? 54, that answer lies similar to the great-grandson situation through Perez, as it also occurs with Beriah, the son of Asher, in verse 17, that is Heber and Malkiel, the sons of Asher, Imnah and Ishva and Ishvi and Beriah. And there's their sister, Sarah. And then you had the sons of Beriah. That would be great-grandsons now for Jacob, Heber and Malkiel. And obviously, Beriah isn't going to be much older, a couple, 3 years maybe, than Perez would have been at this point in time in their history. So those are, again, names that are listed and in some way perpetuate those who inherit through the male seed of Israel in the line of Jacob. And as we will see, it all goes back to Sarah. And we will explain why Dinah and Sarah are mentioned in this list and what role they have to play in this respect as we get into it. So that's point 56. The challenge here lies into why they are emphasized. What's the purpose here for Moses incorporating their names into this, along with Sarah, as well as the off-mention of Dinah, even though it's not really as direct, but it is parenthetical to the number of 33, as she would be number 34. So 58, we will deal with that as best as possible in the pertinent verses. When we get there, essentially it's going to bring out another doctrine that is apropos in regards to the importance of this roster of the line of Jacob inheriting the land. Make you wait till we get there. 59, the reader, as I mentioned earlier, is also to understand that Joseph and sons are viewed as coming to Egypt in person belonging to Jacob, even though his arrival was prearranged some 22 years earlier. In other words, they're part of the 66 number count of live bodies associated with Jacob in his arrival to Egypt. Then another one we have here, but now we can simply explain it. Acts 7:14 tallies the total number being 75, inclusive again in name, not necessarily live persons at the time of the relocation, inclusive in name of Jacob and wives as the foundation for those entering Egypt. There's another number that has to be harmonized. That's in the New Testament. Acts 7:14. And Joseph sent word and invited Jacob, his father, and all his relatives to come to him. 75 persons in all, in name. Obviously, Rachel's not going to be among them. But You take the 70, you take Jacob, Rachel, Leah, Zilpah, Bilhah, and there's your 75. That all are part of the roster of names that through divine invitation go into the land, or go into Egypt to enter the land. All right. Well, if I haven't confused you yet, I'll do better on this one maybe. Verses 8 through 15 now, we begin the dissection of these rosters, the wrap of the roster, through their maternal identification, through the mothers, is how they are listed. So the first one we have here is the travel roster through Leah. Looking at the Hebrew, for those names now, as a heads up, I go through the parsing. If we've already dealt with the names, like the sons and some of the others, I'll just give you the translation of the name. Names that we have not dealt with yet, I'll give you the transliteration along with it. So now these are the names of the sons of Israel, those who will make up the nation. Jacob and his sons who went to Egypt, first being Reuben, Jacob's firstborn. You have the wow conjunction, followed with the adjective, both plural, both genders. It'll take either gender. Ella, E-L-L-E-H. Now these names, again, there's our our word for names that in part generate this list. Common masculine plural noun construct Shem, S-H-E-M, are the names of the sons of Israel. Noun common masculine plural construct Ben, B-E-N, Israel, that being Jacob, divine name. Then you have the definite article with the cow participle, masculine plural absolute, bo, B-O, literally you would translate the ones having come to. Translated went to. Proper noun Egypt, then proper noun, noun Jacob. And his sons, wow conjunction, Ben again, are noun, common masculine plural construct, third masculine singular suffix, his sons. Then the first in the list is the firstborn of Jacob, Reuben. You have the, are noun for firstborn, common masculine singular construct, Bekor, B-E-K-O-R, firstborn of Jacob, Reuben transliterated, proper, both proper nouns. Then we have a list of Reuben's sons. I didn't bring this out in notes, but I'll bring it out verbally here. The sons of Reuben. He has four sons, Hanok, and Palu, and Hezron, and Carmi. This is another seemingly contradiction. When you look back, when Reuben tried to assert his authority and play his role he tries to do with Jacob in regards to Benjamin returning back with them to Egypt after their first trip. Remember back then, back in chapter 42. In that regards, And Reuben there, verse 37, Reuben spoke to his father, saying, You may put my two sons to death if I do not bring them back to you. Put him in my care and we'll return. People just go off. This contradiction. He's got four sons. And there he says he only has two sons. Well, idiot, put it together. Reuben is the type of person. He wasn't going to sacrifice everything. He'd be willing to give up two of his sons, but he's going to keep the other two. So anyway, for your entertainment value. Sons of Reuben, wow, conjunction, noun, common, masculine, plural, construct, Ben, sons of, same construct, Reuben, and then your first one, proper noun, kanak in the Hebrew, C-H-A-N-O-K, hanak, may be referred to as enoch, another way you could possibly translate that. Understand, names were not unique to each individual, just as it is in our society. Names among the patriarchs, among the families, were repetitively used, just like we do today. Names of fathers carried on through sons, grandsons, uncles, things of this nature. You've got to understand that when you deal with these chronologies. People just automatically go off and they assume that because you see the same name, it's the same person. We'll see that comes into play in regards to deciphering all this and maintaining this harmony. Myself, my middle name, I was named after my grandfather, Lee. It was either him or that guy down south that nobody wants to talk about anymore. But anyway, maybe that's who he was named after. Hanak, Enoch. Wow conjunction. Then the next one, proper noun, Palu. P-A-L-L-U. Wow conjunction. Proper noun, Ketzeron. C-H-E-T-S-E-R-O-N. Hezron. Translation. Ketzeron is transliteration. You'll run across this in regards to King James crowd. You'll mention the Yahweh, the second member of the Godhead, being called Yahweh. Oh no, he's not Jehovah. It's always Jehovah. You don't know the difference between a translation and transliteration. Transliteration is Yahweh in the Hebrew. I've had those kind of phone calls. That's why I'm really hesitant to pick up the phone. If I know your number or see your name, I won't hesitate. But otherwise. wow conjunction. Why I'm thinking this, I don't know. Proper noun here, Carmi. Karemi. K-A-R-E-M-I-Y. In verse 10, now we had the sons of Simeon. Same construct, wow, with the conjunction with the noun Ben. And Simeon. And the first one here is Jemuel. Proper noun, Yemuel. Y-E-M-U-E-L. Wow conjunction. Then proper noun, Yamin. Translated, Jamin. Jamin. He's a rock and roll star, I guess. Y-A-M-I-Y-N. Wow conjunction. The next one, proper noun, Ohad. Here transliterated, Ohad. Wow conjunction, proper noun, Yakin. Translated Jakin, J instead of the Yod, Y-A-K-I-Y-N. Wow conjunction, then Tisokar, Tisokar, T-S-O-C-H-A-R, Zohar. Wow conjunction, proper noun, Shaul, transliterated, S-H-A-U-L, Shaul. And then he adds in the son of a Canaanite woman. Well, go figure, Simeon. We know what kind of hellraiser that guy is. These little things, again, remember the admonition, don't marry into the Canaanite female population. Just don't do it. What do they want to go do? Well, here we go. Ben, proper. noun, common masculine singular, construct son of, definite article, proper noun, Canaanite. Woman obviously understood. Verse 11, now you had the sons of Levi, same construction, vowel conjunction, followed with Ben, Levi. The first one is Gershon, G-E-R-E-S-H-O-N, Gershon. Then you had the proper noun, Kehath, Q-E-H-A-T-H, translated Kohath, vowel conjunction, proper noun, Merari, Merari, M-E-R-A-R-I-Y, fairly transliterated accurately there, Merari. Verse 12, then the sons of Judah, same construct. Verses the two sons that died, Er and Onan. We've dealt with their names before. And, vowel conjunction, Shelah, proper noun. And Perez, vowel conjunction, proper noun, Perez. Perez. Vowel conjunction, Zerah, Zerach. And then the princesses Bader and Onan died in the land of Canaan. You had the vowel conjunction. And then our verb to die, cal imperfect third masculine singular, muth, M-U-T-H. Singular here in the Hebrew is a collective singular. Both of them died, we know. But it's translated as a singular, which obviously fits for their role in violating the Levirate principle in a singular way. They died. Er and Onan, proper noun, vowel conjunction, proper noun. In the land of, preposition bet, or noun for land, common feminine singular construct, Eretz, Canaan, proper noun. And the sons of Perez were Hezron and Hamul. Here in the Hebrew, you have the vowel consecutive followed with the cal imperfect third masculine plural, Hayah, and they became, literally, H-A-Y-A-H. It looks at anticipation, if you will. As we have brought out, they are not yet born. The sons of Perez, a noun Ben, sons of, and then the two sons, which would be great-grandsons to Jacob, proper noun, Ketzeron, C-H-E-T-S-E-R-O-N, Hezron, vowel conjunction, and Kamul, Hamul, as it's translated, C-H-A-M-U-L. Verse 13, and the sons of Issachar, vowel conjunction, noun sons, Ben, Issachar, first is proper noun Tola, T-O-L-A, transliterated, vowel conjunction, proper noun Uwuah, E-U-W-U-A-H, Puvah, as it's translated, and then the vowel conjunction, proper noun Yob, Y-O-B, someone would think that's Job, but Job is spelled with an aleph at the beginning, that little X-looking number letter that's silent. This does not have that. So anyway, so it's Yob, vowel conjunction, then the last one here, Shimron, S-H-I-M-E-R-O-N. Verse 14, and the sons of Zebulun, vowel conjunction, noun Ben, Zebulun, first is Sered, transliterated, S-E-R-E-D, vowel conjunction, name Elon, transliterated, E-L-O-N, vowel conjunction, in Jalil is Yakalil, Y-A-C-H-E-L-E-E-L. These are the sons of Leah, whom she bore to Jacob in Padan Aram, with his daughter Dinah. All his sons and daughters, 33. So you had the adjective, both plural, Ella, these, E-L-L-E-H, sons, noun, common masculine plural, here construct Ben, Leah, the substitute for Rachel by her father, to Jacob. You think about it, God really jammed Jacob on that Rachel deal big time. That's what he gets for going energy of the flesh. 14 years, I'll work 14 years for that woman. Honeymoon night, guess what? Anyway, sorry, I think about these things when I'm studying, so if I recall and be thankful that I'm still able to remember. Relative pronoun, a share, whom, A-S-H-E-R. She bore is the cow, perfect third feminine singer, Yalad, Y-A-L-A-D. She gave birth, if you will, which or whom she gave birth, preposition, Lama to Jacob, in per Dam Aram, preposition bed with the proper noun, Padam Aram, up in around Haran, the northern part of the area around Canaan, present day Israel. While conjunction, sign of direct object, then we have the mention of Dinah, the one lone daughter that was born in the baby wars period, that first or second 7 years, which all 12 of these kids were born in 7 years, but obviously you got four mothers that are contributing to the cause. So we dealt with all of that. Dinah, proper noun, his daughter, as she's again identified for us, common feminine singer, constructor, masculine singer, suffix bath, or noun for daughter, B-A-T-H. Then you have the common masculine singer, construct noun, kol, K-O-L, all of. Then our noun translated here, well, it's actually not even translated. It's literally all the souls of, living persons of, the sons of him and his daughters. That's the literal Hebrew. All his persons, sons and daughters. Essentially what you have. You have the common feminine singular construct nephesh, N-E-P-H-E-S-H, recognizing the bodies, live bodies of his offspring. The lives or persons of the sons of him, common masculine plural construct, ben, third masculine singular suffix, b-n, wow conjunction, daughters again, in the plural, with the third masculine singular suffix bath, B-A-T-H. Then our number 33 is first the adjective, both plural, absolute, Sheloshim, S-H-E-L-O-S-H-I-Y-M, 30, plus the wow conjunction and the number 3 added together, 33, adjective, feminine singer, Shelosh. Sheloshim, Shelosh, S-H-A-L-O-S-H. All right, rereading the verses. Now, these are the names of the sons of Israel. Verse 8, Jacob and his sons who went to Egypt. Reuben, Jacob's firstborn. Verse 9, the sons of Reuben, Hanok and Palu, Hezron and Carmi. Verse 10, the sons of Simeon, Jemuel and Jamin and Ohad and Jachin and Zohar and Shaul, the son of a Canaanite woman. Verse 11, and the sons of Levi were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Verse 12, and the sons of Judah, Er and Onan and Shelah, and Perez and Zerah. But Er and Onan died in the land of Canaan. And the sons of Perez were Hezron and Hamul. Verse 13, and the sons of Issachar, Tola and Puvah and Eob and Shimron. Verse 14, the sons of Zebulun, Sered and Elon and Jahleel. In verse 15, these are the sons of Leah, whom she bore to Jacob, Padan Aram, with his daughter Dinah, and his daughter Dinah, all of his persons, of his sons and his daughters, number 33. Now, since verses 8 through 15. Having summarized that the generations of Jacob, still living, having convoyed with him to Egypt, back in verse 6 and 7, that was the summary of it. Moses now parenthetically provides a specific roster and identification. So it's a Hebrew custom often to first summarize and then give details. We generally will give the details, then we'll give you a summary in our English society. But the Hebrew, Moses first summarized in general all descendants, sons and daughters and granddaughters, etc., grandsons. Now he gives us a specific roster in identification. So two, the roster itself is indicative of Jacob's family that resided in Egypt with him, whether in transit on his relocation now from Canaan to Egypt or not. They may not necessarily be with him in the intentions in regards to having come to Egypt with him in this respect. That was verse 20. Joseph obviously was already in Egypt along with his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, and daughter or wife and father-in-law. So they're part of the 66 and 70 count tallying, adding up all the numbers. 33, as we noted in the preliminary considerations, the roster is generated both in name and person. That is, those whose family identity was retained in contrast to those alive at the departure from Canaan. That would be alive with Jacob when he relocated there. Four, further, as previously noted, a primary purpose of the roster is to identify the family names of Jacob's descendants that would survive Egyptian captivity and Exodus and maintain their heritage into the conquest. That's the parallel roster, the genealogy that we looked at, Numbers 26, which we'll see here many times throughout the roster. I'll show you the correlations or lack of, as the case may be. Five, now the roster in that vein, in its entirety, will identify Jacob's 12 sons and a daughter, along with grandsons and a granddaughter, as germane to perpetuating the family lineage, and great grandsons, as we obviously know too. But they're all germane to perpetuating the family lineage. Six, the importance of a name in the historical archives is first emphasized now in the opening clause of verse 8. Now these are the names of the sons of Israel, Jacob and his sons, who went to Egypt. Wael, Ella, Shem, Ben, Israel, Habo, Egypt, Jacob, Wael, Ben. Seven, the Hebrew noun Shem, translated names, rightly so, is designed to categorize the family tree as to both its historical and racial heritage. Historical and racial heritage. That they are of the nation Israel and they're Hebrew in race, Semitic. Eight, the divinely given name Israel, as it's used here, alongside Jacob's given name, Jacob. The divinely given name, quote, Israel, end quote, portends their historical significance as a nation. Hence, they'll be called Israel. Quote, Jacob, end quote, emphasizes their racial distinction from his line, going back to, obviously, Abraham, and all the way back to Adam, Seth, in the beginning of the human race. 9, now the phrase sons of Israel, that phrase informs us that it is the paternal side of the family, the fathers, the husbands, that is marquee in importance of names, regardless of gender recorded otherwise. While a couple of females are mentioned, you got to keep in mind that it's the paternal side of passing on the direct seed from Jacob. That is marquee. It is the theme, if you will, of this roster. 10, now the phrase who went to Egypt would be better translated as, quote, those having come to Egypt. That's looking at the substantival participle with the definite article, havo, having come. 11, so immediately here, our author informs us that the generated roster includes those related to Jacob, irrespective of their present status at the time of the Canaanite departure. What we mean by that is point 12, that is, some may have died, were not yet born, or not having lived or was living at the time with Jacob in Canaan. So immediately we're informed that there is a variation of those present or not present. So 13, the listings of Jacob's sons by their respective mothers now are in chronological order of the birth by their mother. 14, we might safely assume that the birth of grandsons is also in chronological order. Now we get into it. We look at some of the parallel chronology. We'll see later on a different order of birth as they are given to us in the deal. That's easily explained when you recognize that a person that was maybe listed number 2 in our list now, the one after that's listed number 2 in the following deal, the number 2 first in the first list died. So the second son becomes the second born. But anyway, we'll deal with that when we get there. So the listing of Jacob's sons by their respective mothers, point 13, are in chronological order of the birth by their mother. 14, we might safely assume that the birth of grandsons is also in chronological order. 15, names that are recorded in our roster that have otherwise been mentioned in Genesis, we will forego their meanings as they have already been addressed in previous analysis, as I did in the parsing. In other words, I will tell you what the meanings of names that we haven't dealt with before. But I'm not going to go back and tell you all the names of the sons all over again and all that. That's redundant. We've dealt with that. If you can remember what they mean, you're a better man than I am, or person. Put it in that way. I'd have to go back and look. But you will have a compiled list of what they mean if you want to look at your notes. All right, 16. The first list of offspring, quote, are the sons of Leah, whom she bore to Jacob in Padam Aram. Ben Leah, Yalad, Lamed, Jacob, Padam Aram. Verse 15a. 17, remembering back, Padam Aram is a location near Haran, where Jacob went to find a wife, and where all of the first 12 of his children, sons and daughter, excluding Benjamin, were born. That was all the way back in Genesis 28:2. Verse 1, so Isaac called Jacob. This is when, after he deceived his father, getting the birthright, blessing, and he's running away. Jacob comes to his senses, recognizes that this is what God intends. And in verse 1, Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. There's your prohibition. Jacob said this is divinely supported. See. And then the instruction is to arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father. From there, take yourself a wife from the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother, to keep it in the family, so to speak. But the prohibition obviously precedes the instructions of where he is to get his wife. So, 18, this reminds the reader of Isaac's prohibition to marry from the Canaanite population given to Jacob, which still would hold true from Jacob to his sons. So we can take that principle, 19. This implies that the reader may assume that all of Jacob's sons applied the same directive unless otherwise reminded or explicitly noted in contrast of disobeying, such as Judah in that regards. Such as Simeon, as we will see. They maintain a certain segment of geography for where they would draw their wives from. Joseph from Egypt. See. But not from Canaan. You can have any woman in the world, but not from Ohio or wherever. Not from Canaan. So I'm disobedient. Well, what can I say? Along with a lot of the rest of you out there. So we can assume that the brothers in general follow this directive unless we're told otherwise. Otherwise, what's the purpose of saying that one took a Canaanite woman? Why, you couldn't just go and pick on one person out of 12 that violated it, all unviolated it? Come on. A lot of what we deal with here and how we'll come to grips with the interpretation is through logic and deductive reasoning, putting things together, other doctrine. 20 further, the reader should keep in mind that all of Jacob's immediate children listed, excepting Benjamin, were born within a 7-year time span and would reign then in age from 32 to 39 at the time of the departure from Canaan, with Joseph being at and Dinah being at the bottom end, Reuben being 39, and then as they might be listed down there. So that gives you a time reference in regards to looking at, as we've already done, the possibility of some of these great-grandchildren or grandkids being born. So, with that time frame, 21, given that marriages were early in life, grandchildren would not be unusual for Jacob or grandchildren of the sons. That's where I'm coming from there. I'm coming from Jacob. Yeah, that's where I'm coming from. All right. Try to keep it straight here. Given that marriages were early in life, grandchildren would not be unusual. For Jacob. All right. As many of these are his grandchildren. 22. Now Jacob's sons from Leah here were 6. As we have them listed, A, first is Reuben, the firstborn. B, Simeon, verse 10, here, born in sequence. C, Levi from Leah, anyway. Maybe not all in sequence necessarily when you insert the concubines in their roles, but from the mother. C is Levi, verse 11. D is Judah, verse 12. E is Issachar, verse 13. And F is Zebulun, verse 14. So 23, we are reminded that Reuben was chronologically Jacob's firstborn here, though he forfeited his rights of primogeniture due to his affair with Bilhah. That was recorded for us back in 35:22, as Jacob became privy to this. The SCA is quite twisted. People don't keep a corral to do some strange things. It came about while Israel was dwelling in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard of it. He got word of it. And that cost him big time in regards to blessing. And that comes about losing his right as a primogenitor or firstborn in inheritance, which would be a vast majority of the possessions. That's 50 verses 3 and 4. Should be 49 verses 3 and 4. Reuben, you are my firstborn. Genesis 49, 3 and 4. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might and beginning of my strength, preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power. 4, uncontrolled, unstable as water, you shall not have preeminence. Because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it. He went up to my couch. So that cost him. So we'll change that. 49 verses 3 and 4. 24 now from Reuben. Four grandsons to Jacob were born. This is his sons. And again, I explained the difference between the two he mentioned earlier versus this four. That's verse 9. Now the first one there is a Hanak. That means dedicated. He was the patriarch of the Hanakites. And here's where we'll be making reference to Numbers 26 repetitively. So you might want to have Bible marked for that as we go through this, make it easier for you. He's listed in that roster, the families from which military description was made. Numbers 26, 5. Reuben, Israel's firstborn, the sons of Reuben, of Hanok, the family of the Hanokites. B, the next one then is Palu. That means, quote, distinguished or wonderful. And again, names may or may not have some significance in regards to, I mean, you know, we hear that Saul means short or something like that, and hence Paul was short in stature based on his name. Parents didn't know he was going to be short. Come on, give me a break. Yeah, use a little common sense in some of this stuff. But anyway, these are the meanings. This is what these names, how they're derived, what they're, the words are derived from, what they mean. Distinguished or wonderful. Now, obviously, Israel has meaning because that name was given by God. He's the patriarch of the Paluites. In Numbers 26:5 again. Palu, the family of the Paluites. See, then you have Hezron. That means, quote, blooming or dart of joy. So, end quote. These things, they are uncertain in some cases in regards to exactly what these mean. He's the patriarch of the Hezronites. That's Numbers 26:6. Hezron, the family of the Hezronites. He's also associated with a town called Hazor by some interpreters. referred to in Joshua 15:23. Kadesh and Hazor and Ithnan, a list of cities, and many historians put these two together. I can't validate that, but anyway, I'm throwing it in there for you. D, and finally here, Carmi. That means, quote, vine dresser, noble, or my vineyard, end quote. And he's the patriarch. The Carmites, again, that's Numbers 26, also verse 6. Carmi, the family of the Carmites. Father, again, thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light us these things. In Jesus' name, amen.